Right, we're in Galatians chapter 5. We've gotten to verse 22. I find this type of... What we decided to do was choose a topic, and I find this difficult. I find this tough. Preparing for a message like this, I find very tough, where you're given a topic as opposed to a passage. I enjoyed it anyway, but maybe we'll just read a bit here. I'll give a brief summary as to how far we've gotten, and we'll tackle here verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, we'll start maybe reading from verse 17, maybe verse 16. From verse 16, we'll read just to the end of the chapter, and we're going to linger a little bit over verse 22. I think over the next couple of weeks, everybody's going to choose a topic. They're not small topics, by the way, so I don't mind if you pick up and do the same topic as I did today next week, because there's so much more to say on things, and I'm probably not going to get it all out, and so that doesn't matter. But we saw in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that we cannot do the things that you would. If you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of these, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Right, so here we go. Right. We've covered quite a bit of ground in Galatians. I'll do a very brief summary, just a brief introduction, and then we'll see if we can just get into the passage ahead of us. We saw that there was an error in the Galatian church. One of the big errors was that they were adding something to the gospel, that the gospel that Paul preached was not a complete gospel, that they needed to be circumcised, that they needed to add law, they needed to add works to the gospel. And any type of gospel... Well, it's not really a gospel, is it? It's not really good news if you have to earn your way into heaven, because you can't be saved. You can't be saved by the free grace of God. The grace of God is contrary to that. Yeah. So the gospel and this idea of adding works to it makes it no gospel at all. It takes away and it elevates either your works or demotes the work of Christ. They were saying that the work of Christ was not good enough, was not enough to save you, that you needed to keep some of the law, do certain practices in order to get to heaven. And this was a doctrine that was being preached in the Galatian church, and people were getting dragged away by it. People were getting seduced by this thing. Yeah, and they were leaving the gospel that Paul had preached. So Paul stands up and he defends the gospel, and we followed Paul's argument. Yeah, he starts out with the source of the gospel, doesn't he, in chapter 1. He says, "I got the gospel from God himself, from Jesus Christ himself." Yeah, but as we've said, that's kind of half the argument, because the law came from Jesus Christ himself. And then he separates it and says it was God himself. So God gave us the law and God gave us the gospel. So then he separates it and he says, just because it's got the same source doesn't mean it's for the same purpose. So he separates the purpose. Yeah. And so we end up in chapter 4, and Paul presents there at the end of chapter 4 this great picture of the great division between these two. And I want to say, even in my notes here, I've written opposing things, but the law and the gospel don't oppose each other. Yeah, the law and the gospel are complementary. They work together. They oppose each other in the sense that if you preach the law as a means of salvation, then they oppose each other, because that's not the intent of the law. The purpose of the law was to lead us, was the schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. They're not opposing covenants. Yeah, they're complementary. God gave us both of them. But the purpose of the two is different. So when I say opposing worldviews or opposing covenants, that's what I mean. I mean it in the sense that if the law is preached as a means of salvation, then it opposes the gospel. But if the law is preached as a means of us making us aware of our sin and driving us to find a Savior as a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ, well, then they're complementary. Right, so at the end of chapter 4, we have these two opposing I'm going to say opposing gospels, yeah. Maybe opposing gospels is a better word, yeah. So they have these two pictures of these opposing, and he presents them as Hagar and Sarah, and he draws a whole lot of, I know he uses a whole lot of metaphors, mixes them all up together. And I think the reason he's doing that is because to stop it from being one-dimensional. It's very difficult to understand a concept when it's one-dimensional. It's good to put a couple more dimensions on it so that when you turn it a little bit, you can see, oh, it also makes sense from that view and from that view and that view. So I think that's why Paul selects these different aspects. And he talks about Sarah and Hagar. He talks about the children that they are born because they both produced something. Hagar and Sarah, they both had children and they both produced offspring. One offspring was born into slavery, continuous slavery. Ishmael was born under slavery. That's how he was born. It's not no fault of his own, but he was born a slave. Yeah. Whereas Sarah had a child, he was born an heir. He was born free, and he was born an heir of Abraham. Yeah. So there's those two contrasts, and one is from Sinai, and the other was from Jerusalem, which is in heaven. One is gendered to bondage, Hagar, and one is of Jerusalem in heaven, which is free. Yeah. So we have those two, and they're presented, and Paul presents them in such a way that we can vividly see and we can visually see and understand what Paul is saying. Yeah, so there are these two doctrines that are totally different, with totally different results at the end of chapter 4. And chapter 5 starts, and I think chapter 4 and 5, chapter 5 verse 1 kind of goes hand in hand, because he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and do not become entangled in the yoke of bondage." Don't go back to that. Yeah? Once you've been led to Christ, don't go back to the law. Yeah? It's like me being a free man. Yeah? Yeah, I went back to school a couple of years ago. It's a terrible idea. Yeah? Don't go back to school. Don't go back under tutelage. Yeah? Once you're out of school, don't go back there. Yeah? Once you've been led to Christ, don't go back under bondage. And that's what he's saying. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Yeah? Right. So, that's chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. And that's the practical. You know what? What we believe in our heart affects what we do. Yeah? It should affect what we do. I remember witnessing to a guy at Genzyme saying, he said to me, "Do you really believe that?" And I said, "Yes." He says, "How do you know?" "Well, because it changes the way I act." Yeah? I don't act the same because of what I believe. Yeah? So Paul starts there in chapter 1 to chapter 4 with the doctrine. Chapter 5 and 6 is, how does that affect me? How ought I to behave in light of the gospel, in light of what's gone on before? Yeah, we know that the letter brings letter kills, and the Spirit brings life. Yeah, and Paul goes on to start talking about the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings life, doesn't he? Yeah, right back there in Genesis. Yeah, we spoke about that the other day. I think David mentioned that the Holy Spirit was hovering over creation. Yeah, and he brings life. That's the difference between the law and the Spirit. The Spirit brings life. The law brings death. The law will condemn you every time. Every time. But the Spirit brings life. And if we're walking in the Spirit, it should affect our life. We should be made alive. Yeah? So, the letter kills. The Spirit brings alive. Makes things alive. And Paul starts contrasting these two. And I'd like to point out there in verse 19 there, that the first division, the first two headings I'd like to make is the difference between works and fruit. Yeah, so it's the works of the flesh there in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, and he gives a list. I think there's 17 things. Then he says the fruit of the Spirit, and he lists 9 things. And there's a big difference between works and fruits, aren't there? Yeah, I know. Well, they're spelled differently, first of all. An F, one's a W, so they're different words. Yeah, but there's a difference between works and fruits. When I talk about works, what do we imply by work? I go to work every day. A lot of guys here go to work. What is implied by work? Wages. Wages are implied by work. I earn something for my effort, don't I? And that's the difference between work and fruit. Yeah, I go to work and I earn something for my efforts. So here you have this list of these 17 things. They are the works of the Spirit. They're putting in effort, and you're going to get wages for them. And we know the verse, don't we? The wages of sin is death. Yeah? The gift of God is eternal life. Yeah? The wages of sin. We earn something. Yeah? So that's one of the main differences between works and wages. But there are good works, aren't there? We're called upon to do good works. Yeah? Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that God has foreordained good works for us to walk therein. How does it go? I can't remember. I haven't written down here. Just give me a second here. Created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yeah? So we are created. There are good works that we need to do, and that requires effort from us. We are called upon to put something in, aren't we? But what do we get for it? We get something for it, aren't we? We're earning something for by walking in those good works. I'm earning treasure in heaven, aren't I? And that's the result. As I go walk in the Spirit and I go into these good works, I earn something in heaven. I store up treasure in heaven. But that's not what he's talking about here, is he? He doesn't say the works of the Christian, or the fruit of a Christian, or the fruit of a godly Christian life. He doesn't. He says it's the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, so fruit is different. What does fruit imply? Fruit implies growth, doesn't it? Yeah. Fruit implies, first of all, life. Yeah, I can take my broomstick. No, this is a very broad example. I can take my broomstick, plant it in the most fertile soil. Yeah, pour water on it, silage, whatever else farmers do to make things grow. And I can do it all day. That broomstick will never blossom. That's what makes Aaron's rod spectacular, but that's another story. Yeah, that broomstick will never blossom. That broomstick will never turn into a tree. Yeah, because it's dead. Only living things produce fruit. Yeah, living trees. Yeah, dead plants, they don't produce fruit. The first thing we need to be is alive. Yeah, it needs to be living. Yeah, no matter how nutritious the soil is. So no matter how much I read my Bible, without the Spirit, without Christ, without accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior, no matter how much I read my Bible, no matter how much I pray, no matter how many religious postures I take, yeah, I will not. The fruit of the Spirit is going to be void in my life. You will never see it. Yeah, and I was kind of drawing a mind map yesterday. It's kind of half there. We have examples of that all through history, don't we? Yeah, of men and women who present as religious, yeah, who are trying to be religious and go out into the world and they fulfill the lusts of the flesh, don't they? Yeah, we just look at church history, don't we? We see the Crusades. Crusades is a great example of that. Yeah, men and women who are religious, who have all these religious postures and are living by the law and all of those things, and they go out and they commit these atrocities, and it's this dark stain on Christianity, isn't it? Yeah, because they're not producing the fruit of the Spirit, are they? And they go out and they kill and they do all of these things that are listed from verse 19 to verse 21. Interesting. You have the same for Islam. You have the same for Hindus. You have the same for every single religion, because they're not producing the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, and that's the difference. Yeah, right. So fruit is a natural result of life, and this is a natural result of a healthy Christian walk, isn't it? A healthy Christian growth. Yeah. Trees that are not growing don't produce fruit, are they? Yeah? You get unhealthy trees, don't you? Get unhealthy trees. So you can be a Christian, yeah? And you can be an unhealthy Christian, yeah? And not produce fruit, not produce the fruit of the Spirit, yeah? You can claim the name of Christ, you can be saved, but you can be living in the world, backslidden, and not producing the fruit of the Spirit, yeah? That goes for the Christian as well, you know. So a Christian can take on all these postures, can do all of these things, yeah, and not produce the fruit of the Spirit, yeah. You cannot manufacture fruit, can you? I can't manufacture fruit. I don't think anybody can. Yeah, you can try it, you can draw pictures of it and all that, but fruit cannot be manufactured. Yeah, it's a natural result of life and growth, isn't it? Yeah, I think that's wonderful as well. We're told that we can grow in love, can't we? We can increase in love. Yeah, that's the first topic here, but I'll get to that later on. But it's very interesting that we can increase in these things. And what a wonderful thing that is, you know? Yeah, that we can grow in love, that we don't always have this. We can start somewhere and we can end up somewhere else. You know what I mean? That we can grow and that we can bear fruit. Yeah? Okay, so that's interesting. So it's a natural result of Christian growth. If we are walking in the Spirit, if we are being led by the Spirit, yeah, and if we're in the Spirit, we'll produce the works of the Spirit. You know, people are looking for these spectacular signs. You know, I speak to a guy quite often, David. He's a good friend of mine. But he looks for these things of the Spirit. He wants to see laying on of hands. He wants to see casting out of demons. He wants to see all of these spectacular things. Yeah. But when we come to this passage here, I think it's a wonderful... This is how we know the Spirit is working. This is how we know that a church is alive and vibrant and is filled with the Spirit, is because they produce these fruits. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah? This is the result of a Spirit-filled life. This is a result of walking in the Spirit. This is a result of being led by the Spirit. These are the fruit. Yeah? What's interesting is that it's works in the plural of the flesh. Plural. Yeah? But it's singular fruit of the Spirit. I think this is wonderful. God's so mighty, isn't he? Yeah? The flesh will just have you doing anything. Yeah? A whole lot of different things. Yeah? But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, this is a complete package, I think. This is a whole thing. When you're saved and you're walking in the Spirit, you will have all of these things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of these things. It's a singular fruit. It's the produce, isn't it? That's a wonderful thing. Yeah, I've written here in my notes. Wow, he can do so much. Yeah, with a guy like me, a guy like people like us, yeah, the Holy Spirit can do this great thing, can produce all of this in me. Really? Yeah, and I think they're all linked as well. So before we go any further, I think love, joy, peace, long-suffering, they're not standalone things. They're all linked. They're all dependent on each other. Yeah, you can't be patient with somebody if you don't love them. You know what I mean? It's very difficult, isn't it? Yeah, and meekness and gentleness and faith and all of those things, they're all dependent on each other. Yeah, temperance and patience and gentleness, all based on each other, and they grow in each other. Yeah, and I think that's so lovely. Yeah, all right. You know, I can go right now and I can start working, can't I? I can go outside, I can pick up a spade, and I can start digging a hole. I can start working anytime. Yeah? But fruit doesn't work that way, does it? Fruit's not like that. You can't just have fruit just like that. So you can go to the shop and go and buy it. But that's after it's been produced. It takes a while to get there. Yeah? It's not just like work you can do. Like right now. Boom, I can go get up, get in my car, drive to work, and I can do some work. Somebody will want something done, and I'll go and get work, and I'll go pay for it. Yeah? But fruit doesn't work that way. Fruit starts as a bud. Then it becomes a flower, then it becomes a fruit, and the fruit needs to grow, it needs to ripen, it needs to get mature, and it needs to grow, yeah? Which is a wonderful thing as well, isn't it, yeah? And I love the choices that I've sat down and made another mind map about this, because this is really, it's lovely the choice that God uses to describe what's happening. Fruit is a wonderful thing. I don't know much about, I remember biology, I did biology in school, I wasn't good at it, but I do remember it. Fruit starts, it's pollination, isn't it? And I remember you have a bud and then you get the flower, and then sometimes you need another tree, yeah? So another tree has to come here and it has to be pollinated from somewhere else, yeah? And it says this idea of a Christian fellowship, isn't it, yeah? I mean, you don't make love, you don't produce the fruit in me, but it sure helps to have you around, to bring it to maturity, yeah? To help it to grow, yeah? That as I develop and I walk in the Spirit myself, and I see other people doing it, and I can emulate them, and we can encourage each other, and we can grow together. Yeah, so the fruit goes from a bud to a flower to mature to an immature fruit to a mature fruit. And sometimes the plant can pollinate itself, can't it? So a bud from here can, and the bee goes from here to there on the same plant, and then that tree gets pollinated, and it does itself, it pollinates itself, self-pollination, I think cross-pollination, I remember something along those lines. Maybe I'm wrong, but my biology isn't great, yeah? But as we develop these fruits, as we develop love, and as we develop joy, yeah? It produces other fruit in us, isn't it? The more we love one another, the more we love the Lord, it produces gentleness, and it produces kindness, and it produces these other fruit in us as well, doesn't it? Yeah? And so our fruit grows, yeah? So that's a wonderful thing. That's just maybe, I love these pictures. I can talk about this all day, but anyway, I'll move on, yeah? But we need to abide in Christ, isn't it? So it's all about us abiding in Christ. You know, Jesus Christ has this, John chapter, I want to say, I can't think now. Where am I? Where am I thinking? Just give me a second there. Talks about the vine. That is 15, isn't it? Yeah, 15, yeah. John chapter 15. Abide in me. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. So the way we produce fruit is by abiding in Christ. You know, like I said, you take a branch, you lop it off the tree, that branch is now dead. It'll bear fruit for a little bit, but that branch is ultimately going to die. Yeah, because it's been taken out of the vine. As long as we're abiding in Christ, yeah, we're going to produce fruit, aren't we? Yeah, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of the Christian, yeah? So we need to imitate Christ. Yeah. So our fruit grows over time as we abide in Christ and as we go, as we live our life as a Christ-centered life, following the Spirit and led by the Spirit, we bring forth much fruit. Yeah. So we must abide in Christ. Right. So the Holy Spirit lists these nine things. Yeah, no, I know it's Paul writes this, but I think it's the Holy Spirit listing nine things that he brings to fruition in our life. Yeah, this is an inspired word of God. And Jesus Christ had all of these things. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah? Jesus Christ had displayed all of these. We want to see how this works. We want to see an example of how this works and how this actually fulfilled in someone's life. Yeah? We read the life of Christ. Because Jesus Christ vividly displayed all of these things. And we ought to follow him, shouldn't we? Yeah? Yes, there it is. John 15 tells us, yeah, we should abide in Christ. Yeah, right. So first of all, we ask to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to forsake all, don't we? Yeah, I think that's kind of what got me thinking about a marriage, because that's the only other relationship on earth where we're spoken of to forsake all others, aren't we? And it's the relationship that most displays Christ and the church, isn't it? Yeah. It's the relationship that between me and my wife, we forsake all others. Yeah? And when I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm also called upon to forsake all others. And as we forsake all others, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ grows. Yeah? And because we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to minister to others, aren't we? We're able to care for and to love and to be patient and to be kind and to be gentle with others, aren't we? Because we are imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, because of that, the Holy Spirit lists love as the first thing. When he describes the fruit of the Spirit, he lists love as it. Now, there's four types of love, from what I can understand, in the Bible. There's eros, which is romantic love. There's stoge, which is a family love, like a parent-child love. There's philia, which is deep friendship or brotherly love. Yeah, and then there's this agape, which is the highest form of love, and it comes from the Lord. It's the love that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us. It is the agape love. It is the pure, unconditional, sacrificial love that God has and that Jesus Christ has for us. It's agape love. Yeah, and that's the first thing, right? So the law is summed up with two things, isn't it? Yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And those are the two headings that I'd like to deal with this under. And I won't take much longer. I think I'm... yeah. First thing, we have this very interesting interaction, don't we, at the end of John's Gospel. I read it pretty often. Yeah. But Jesus Christ is talking to Peter. The Lord is standing there. And he's got holes in his hands, holes in his feet, holes in his side. In this great, he has just displayed the agape love of God and himself to mankind and to Peter. He loved us unto death. And he stands there and he says to Peter, do you love me? And it's not just this silly love. Yeah. He says, do you agape me? Do you love me, this unconditional, sacrificial, pure love? Do you love me like that? And Peter says, oh yes, Lord, I love you. But he doesn't use the same word, does he? Yeah. He uses phileo. Oh yes, I love you like a brother. Oh, brotherly love to you. Yeah. The Lord is standing there with holes in his hands, holes in his feet. Such a vivid picture, isn't it? Yeah. The two different types of love. Do you love me, Peter? And he says it three times, doesn't he? Three times he says, Peter, do you agape me? Peter says, yes. But it's not the same love, is it? Yeah. You know why? Because Peter doesn't have the Holy Spirit, does he? Yeah. Because you look a couple of days later, that same man. Yeah, you know, they're talking about Peter's death right after that conversation. They talk about Peter's death, don't they? Yeah, and Peter says, I brotherly love you, I brotherly love you. A few days later, 40 days later, that man is standing up and he is preaching the gospel, knowing full well how he's going to die. You know how Peter was buried? Yeah, holes in his hands, holes in his feet. Yeah, it's not filial love anymore, is it? Yeah, that man died. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit took that filial love and turned it into agape love. First of all, to God. First of all, to Jesus Christ, his Redeemer. And that man there that only loved him, filial love, was buried with holes in his hands and holes in his feet because he was crucified. That same love that Christ displayed, Peter displayed that same love. Because through the Holy Spirit, the love of God was shed abroad in his heart. Hey? That's a wonderful thing, eh? Yeah? Our first love is what? Is who? Yeah. Well, as a Christian, I know who I love most. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me. And that's our first love. Yeah. If Ephesus left their first love, I think that they were more distracted by doctrine or whatever it was, but they'd left their first love. Let's not leave our first love. Yeah. Our love for the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be first. Yeah. Let us be like Peter. Yeah. Not before he got the Holy Spirit, but after he did that. Bold. Yeah. And willing to die. The same death as his Savior. Well, upside down, according to tradition. But still the same death. Yeah. Willing to die for him. Peter had boasted a couple of, a while back, before that. Yeah. He said, I'll die for you, Lord. I'll die for you. Yeah. And filial love can do a lot of things. Make you say silly things, but it won't make you do things. Agape love is a love that makes you do stuff. Yeah? You do stuff, don't you? And Peter did it. Peter lived that Christian life. And Peter died a good death for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. Yeah? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second thing, yeah? Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah? There's a story about this too, isn't there? Yeah? There's a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Yeah? Interesting that Jesus is talking to this guy, and this guy's a lawyer. Yeah? He's a, I want to say, interpreter of the law, or a practitioner of the law, and he's trying to trip up the lawgiver. Yeah? And he says, what must I do? And the Lord lists the commandments. He lists these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind. Yeah? And love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah? List the two. Yeah? And the guy's like, who's my neighbor? Really? A lawyer's asking who your neighbor is. The guy who knows the law and interprets the law and practices the law is confused about who your neighbor is. Yeah? So the Lord says this, tells him this story. There's a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Yeah? He falls among thieves. We know the story of the Good Samaritan. Falls among thieves. He gets robbed, beaten, half dead. Half dead. He's just left on the side of the road. Yeah? And along comes this priest. Now, I know it's a picture of Jesus Christ and Israel. Yeah? But anyway, this priest comes past. Yeah? Priest walks past, sees the man, passes by on the other side. Religion. Yeah? Religion. This is a guy who is the mediator of the law, isn't he? This priest. That's what a priest is. He mediates the law. He comes past, looks at the guy, no, I can't help that guy. I can't bring life out of that. That guy's dead. Yeah? Walks past on the other side. Here comes a Levi. This is a guy who actually does the law. He's a doer of stuff. Yeah? His job was to carry things around and to do stuff in the temple. Yeah? He comes past, he actually looks and really has a good inspection. No, still nothing I can do about this guy. Yeah? Now along comes this Samaritan, this outcast, this person who's been rejected by his brothers and sisters, this rejected guy, who has, there's no love lost between a Jew and a Samaritan. They didn't like each other, they hated each other, yeah? And the Samaritan walks past and he sees this man, and he doesn't just help him in the moment, does he? He doesn't just drag him out the road and get him somewhere safe and then sayonara, all the best, yeah? The story actually says that he actually goes and he dresses this man's wounds. He puts in effort. He takes of his own resources. He dresses this man's wounds. Yeah? And he takes him to an inn. But it says on the morrow, which is the next day. So the man spent the night with this guy, looking after him. Yeah? And the next day, yeah, when the man was maybe stable or whatever, yeah, he makes provision for him. What a wonderful thing that is. Yeah? That's not brotherly love, is it? What type of... It's not brotherly love because they weren't brothers, were they? They weren't friends. There was no love lost between them. Yeah, there was a Jew and a Samaritan. That's not brotherly love. It wasn't family love because they're not brothers. Yeah? They're both men, so it wasn't a relationship between a husband and a wife. What type of love was this? Well, I put it to you that it was this agape love, the sacrificial love, that he went out of his way to display the love of God to this man. That's his neighbor. Yeah, so we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and we need to love one another as ourselves. Yeah, yeah. We need to love our neighbor, put each other first. So this man commended his love, the love of God towards this man, in that while he was broken on the side of the road, this man went out of his way to help him. Yeah. The challenge for me then, this is my last page here. The challenge for me is, if we are imitators of Christ, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given unto us, we ought to love like Christ loved. And how did Christ love? Yeah, and I spoke about this last Sunday. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Imitators of Christ, are we imitating Christ? Yeah? Is there somebody in your life that needs to see the love of God, that you can display the love of God to? Is there somebody who needs love? You might be thinking of one person, but I'm going to maybe correct that. I had to correct myself as well while I was sitting yesterday preparing. Yeah? Everybody needs to see that. Jesus Christ didn't die in a corner, did he? He didn't die just down there somewhere where only a few people saw. He died in front of everybody. Everybody we come across needs to see the love of God in us. We need to display the love of Christ to everyone. Hey? That's a big thing, isn't it? Yeah? And guess what? It's not the fruit of me. Yeah? It's the fruit of the Spirit. That's why we're capable of big things. That's why we're told to do these things. Love your enemy. It's difficult. It's hard to do. But we haven't been given a spirit of weakness. We've been given a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yeah? We are told to display. We're told to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told to imitate the Lord, to imitate God himself. Yeah? And Jesus Christ died for sinners. Yeah? That unconditional, that caring, that pure, sacrificial love. That's what was displayed to us. You know, the wonderful thing, I sat there and I thought I made a whole list of things that fruit does. You know, fruit is sweet, isn't it? Yeah? It's fruit. It's sweet. Yeah? And it's nice to eat. Yeah? It's refreshing. Yeah? I lived in a hotel up in Dublin for the last couple of days and it was terrible up there, but the breakfast was great. You know, they had like watermelon and grapes and I look forward to that. I ate the other stuff as well, but that was what I look forward to. That fruit is sweet, and I remember eating thinking, man, this is good. Yeah, that's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's sweet to those around. It's beneficial. What else does it do? You know what the purpose of a fruit is? You know, yeah, it brings life to the next generation, doesn't it? It produces life in other things. Yeah, you know, people will not always read the Word of God, but I promise you they'll read your life. Yeah, so many people have seen and looked at a Christian and thought, man, I want what he's got. What is that? What is that? What is he looking at? What is he seeing in that other Christian, in that Christian? What is he seeing? Well, he's seeing the fruit of the Spirit, isn't he? Yeah, yeah, fruit of the Spirit. That's what he sees in us. That's what the world is looking for in us. But when you don't produce that fruit, you know, I looked it up here, there's fruit that's poisonous. Did you know that? Yeah, there's fruit that'll kill you. Yeah. There's a whole list of it. List of fruit that'll kill you. Yeah? Yeah? To choose wisely. Yeah? Choose wisely who you follow. Yeah? Choose wisely the fruit that is displayed in your life. Yeah? Because the world is watching. You can either produce sweetness or you can produce death. And I encourage you, walk in the Spirit. Display the love of God. Yeah? He loved me. He loves you. Need to love others. Maybe I'll just close with that. Dear Lord, just to thank you. Lord, we thank you that we can, Lord, that we can walk in the Spirit, Lord. Lord, you've given us so much, Lord. We pray that you would just help us, Lord, just to truly display the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. Help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Help us not to be caught up with the things of this world, Lord. Help us to truly be imitators and followers of Christ, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would just give us victory in our Christian life. Lord, help us not to be weak. Help us not to be feeble, Lord. Help us to be living for the kingdom of God, for your honor and for your glory, Lord, we pray. Lord, just to pray just for the rest of our day. Pray for the meal that we're going to share, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. Join us together in love. Help us to display our love for one another. Lord, help us to care for one another. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.